So I'm preaching from 2 Kings chapter 4. If you've got your Bible or electronic device, you can go there, 2 Kings chapter 4. This sermon is on God giving you provision for certain things in life based on what you already have. Now, what I'm saying is easy to understand when you recognize that you already have things like, for example, your desires and your wants and your needs. Okay, you already have longings. So the principle is easily seen in God providing for you in respect to those kinds of things. And the scripture actually tells you this. So keep that simple illustration in mind because there is so much more to unpack in this. Because the same principle connects to other things that you have, like blessings you already have from God, blessings from Him. You have many blessings from God, no matter how small you think they are. And there might be times that you don't think that you have many blessings from God. You know, you get into a pressing situation or you go through tragedies. You can get to thinking that way. Going through worry, your faith can get tested in such a way that you don't feel very blessed. And you might not think you are. But in those times, the God of grace has blessed you. And in those times, the blessings you have are not erased. And what God wants us to recognize, He wants you to recognize, me to recognize, is those blessings. And He wants us to remember them. God wants you to keep turning to Him in faith, seeking His help, realizing, remembering, and rejoicing over what He has already blessed you with. Then take that recognition of what you already have and then use it to trust God for further provision. Anything that God's already done in your life, think about this. It's your story of faith. It's your story of your walk in life with Him. It's your story of His love for you. So developing this realization as part of the principle, the stable way for us to go in our walk with God is to look at your life with right spiritual eyes no matter how bad things get. Like, for example, your freedom-guaranteeing republic under God being stolen by godless people who want to create a wasteland of dying anti-God fantasies. Or the devastation from that little disease gift from China, the Trojan horse that helped the people that are thieves steal a nation and destroy businesses through lockdowns and oppressive regulations. Not saying that some regulation's not needed, but it destroys lives also with its infection. So yes, even things like that, you must remember your blessings from God. We have to. Remember your privilege to exist. That's a big one, right? Here we are right now. We are actually people that exist. That is one of the most amazing things, to actually be. Now, yeah, pain comes with the gift of life, but it's temporary because this is a temporary cursed world. And it was given to us from our great-great-great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve. And there is difficulty, but God promises us, He promises me, you, it won't last. So be thinking about your privilege to exist forever in perfection in your gift from God in Christ Jesus. He's given you spiritual salvation. You have the life of Christ. It's explained so many ways. You have the life of Christ living in you. Now, you have many, many blessings like this. You have faith. You have God-given abilities. You have the ability to feel, to be happy, to be sad, to be kind. You have the ability to be humbly transparent concerning your needs, but you've got to do it for it to manifest. And you also have the gift of love of Christ, special Christian love. It's a love only Christians have. You have it. You also possess covenant favor with God. He always favors you. It's called grace. You'll have all these blessings. And if you want to manifest the life of Christ in your thoughts and actions, those desires are there, I want to get to this, because God gave it to you. See, you have these things. These are blessings. Your desire to obey the Lord is from the Spirit. And you also know there's room for growth. All of us. Growth in our thoughts, growth in our spirituality, growth in our actions. Spirit's giving you insights to recognize it. You also possess the privilege to pray, to talk to the Creator of all things, the eternally existing One, God. And you have this blessing relationship with God in which He actually listens with interest to what you are saying to Him. This genius Existence is listening to you with keen interest in you. He likes to listen to you, to even what you're asking him for. And you also have knowledge of God's word. Think about that. It's the truth that sets us free. That is an amazing thing. And you have all this. And God's given you some ability to help others, whether it be your time, talents, even treasure, whatever it is, God's given it to you. So think of it this way. Even if you've lost your health, even if you've lost your income, your home, you have blessings. And the principle is that God wants you to use what you have in trusting him for more. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Use what you have in trusting God for provision. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you guide me to preach from your word, that we would be built up and that we would use what we learn for your glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, coming into 2 Kings 4, we are told about Prophet Elisha and his encounter with the widowed mother. And this widow, she used to be the wife of a prophet. She's now experiencing devastating hardship. And in tears, crying, depressed, desperate, she went to this prominent prophet of the day, Elisha. Now, she didn't have very much, but she took something with her she did have, and she had faith. And she explained to Elisha that her husband had been a godly man, he feared the Lord, now he's dead. So she's there to see Elisha because there's this big problem that's added to her husband's death, if that's not big enough, right? The man died while still owing money to a lender. And while alive, her husband was paying his creditor faithfully. Now he's gone. And the most distressing part of her problem was that the creditor had come to take her two children to be his slaves as a form of recompense for the loan. Now, in our day, this kind of action, that's really hard to comprehend, right? But back then, creditors commonly did this, and they were within their rights to do it. Now, theoretically, that creditor, I mean, he could have been more graceful, you know, to a widow who would lose her children in a time when they would all need to rally together to survive. But we don't know why the man pursued this course. He may have needed compensation for his own survival. But either way, God's old covenant of works, the Mosaic Law, allowed for the enslavement of debtors and their children as a way to work off a debt. But the law also said that the servanthood can only last to the year of Jubilee, which occurred in seven-year cycles. And at that time, the Jubilee time, God said that the creditor had to let everyone go completely free from the debt, completely free from any service any longer. But regardless of these things, this woman didn't want her children to be taken from her. And tragedy had dealt this blow. Not selfish and dishonest gain of trying to purposely rip off a lender. And so she didn't want more tragedy as a destitute widow trying to fend for herself without her family to help. And so here she is, she's in front of Elisha. And she's not only broke, she's broken inside. And though she didn't have much, she still had her faith. And you have faith too. You always do. In fact, the testing of your faith doesn't take it away. As a Christian, what does it do? It says in Scripture. The testing of your faith produces endurance. And you have faith too. You have faith. Your faith is a blessing from God. And when you are needy, God wants you to be a steward of that faith. Rely on your faith. Quickly and readily use your blessing of faith in whatever it is you're going through. Now, with that widow, she had something else. She was an open book to other people. Now, you got to think about this. She went to Elisha with humble transparency concerning her needs. And now with you, humble-minded transparency is a fruit of the Spirit. And when does it materialize from your heart? When you use it, when you do it. That's the way it always is with the manifestation of Christ, manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit. Only comes out when you do it. But that simple thing, humble transparency concerning your needs, is a powerful blessing to possess. Being honest and transparent when you are in need opens doors for the Lord to work in amazing ways. Otherwise, what happens to those doors? They remain closed. But think about this. You're the one that keeps them closed, or you're the one that closed them. So first, go to God in faith, and as you go, Use your humble transparency concerning your needs. Go knowing God knows what you want, and go to people knowing that God wants you to do it. Go knowing that God is pleased when you do. Now, when it comes to the people God wants to use in your life, if you don't share your needs in emergency times, even hold back certain uncomfortable details, even the embarrassing ones, the urgency of your situation goes unnoticed. So, search your heart in whatever you're going through. I don't know all the things that you are personally experiencing. I know about some of them. I know about some of you. But overwhelming times come to all of us. They come to me. Search your heart about why you're not purposely, humbly seeking help from others with those things. Could be a lot of reasons. You know, there are a lot of reasons why people don't ask for help. But there's one reason that will bring more harm to you than any other. It's pride. And because of pride, the need to be helped can be real, but your ego has made it invisible to others. So you don't get help. Could have been, but you're not going to be. All because you never let anyone know what was going on. And so this widow shows us she's using what she already had and trusting God for more provision. She's using what you have. Faith is also using what you need to manifest. You do it from your own heart. Humble honesty in laying out your needs. It's just being real, people. Now, Elisha knew she came in faith, and he knew she was transparent about her needs, about her desire for help. So Elisha asked her, "What do you want me to do for you?" So God's already working with what Elisha already had himself. So Elisha asked her another question. Had to do with what she already had now. He wanted to know what she had in her house. Now Elisha didn't know what she had. God didn't always tell prophets every single little thing with this particular operation of ministry. So at first, Elisha wondered what she wanted him to do. And next, he wanted to know what was in her house. So the principle is that Elisha has not yet had the kind of prophetic insight which reveals these types of details. In other words, at this point, Elisha is working. This is important. He's working, but he's working with the other things that he already has. He had what? Love for God's people. He had the desire to be a man of God. He had a desire to help others, to help this widow. He had faith. And so again, all this is how it is with you when it comes to using what you have and trusting God for provision. He is a picture of what we are. Okay, so is she. And so there, until God decided to give Elisha prophetic insight, Elisha used what he had to be moving along as a child of God, doing his part in God's provision for the widow. So Elisha asked her, "What do you have in the house?" And she explained that the only thing she had left was a jar of oil. Now, with this information about what she had, we see that Elisha started operating in the double portion prophetic anointing that he had received from Elijah. Elisha, and there's Elijah. And he told the widow, "Go around all your neighbors, borrow as many empty containers as you can find." And he told her, "Make sure you don't get too few." Well, not too few is not really a number, but the instructions were telling her to essentially fill her house with as many containers as she could find. What will that do for her? Well, immediately, she's going to end up having more than what she had. So Elisha told her, "Then come into the house and shut the door behind you and your sons." Then Elisha told her the principle. Use what she already had and trust in God for more provision. She had a little bit of oil in a jar. So he told her, pour what she had into the containers until they became full. So now the widow had the specific word of the Lord to walk with special instructions, revelation instructions. And she also had her faith, so she went, operating in that too. And when she got home, her sons brought vessels to her from the neighbors. She shut the door behind herself and her sons, just like Elijah told her to do. And Elijah instructed her specifically to shut that door. Now, Elisha evidently had revelation that it was important for her to have privacy concerning what God was about to do. So to get that privacy, she used something else that she has, the door and the house the door's connected to, and trusting God for provision. And this is the thing that I'm getting at. This is a realization of recognizing, all right? You're a child of God. We want our spiritual eyes to open up. We want to be appreciative, but we need to recognize things first, recognizing what you already have that you may not have recognized before. Things that are evident, you just somehow, they become invisible to you. And so this also shows us something else. It shows that the widow has obedience. She did everything the prophet told her to do. See how this works? You have the word of the Lord. Obedience to it is important in trusting God for provision. And it's one of the most readily available things that you have in your life. And it's obedience to the word of God. So the widow, she went back to her home in obedience to the word of the Lord. And she had something else. She had her sons to help her. So she applied that to her obedience. And her sons also had things to use in trusting God for provision. They had the ability to do tasks. They were also obedient. So they went out, got the containers. You know, then the widow takes this little jar. She pours this oil into each of the containers. She'd fill up one container with oil, then another one, all from the same little jar of oil that she had. Now, this is a stunning example of using what she had, though considered just a tiny bit, in trusting God for provision for so much more. God had provided a virtual oil well in her living room. He was perpetually flowing out continuous blessings as long as there were containers to fill. And this is like what happened with the prophet before, which was Elijah, back when he met a needy widow. Now, in terms of food, all that other widow had was a handful of flour in a bowl, a little bit of oil in a jar. But she had those things. And Elijah had told her, God's saying, the bowl of flour will not be exhausted, nor will the jar of oil be empty until the day God sends rain. And that's what happened. Day after day for 3 whole years, just kept on filling up, and then the rain came and it stopped. It's like when Jesus turned a few loaves and a few fish into enough to feed thousands. And so the picture here for us to look at ourselves is a principle of provision from God of the overflow which occurs when what you have is put into use. Your faith, your privilege of going to Him, following His word, asking Him for provision, being obedient. See, you're being a good steward of all those things. And so back with what that widow was filling the containers with, which was oil, when all the containers were full, the oil stopped. But now instead of one little jar of oil, the house is packed with large containers of a very valuable asset in that day. Oil was highly expensive back then. And so after that happened, this widow goes back to Elisha. And Elisha told her, he said, use the oil reserves that you now have as God's provision. He told her, go sell the oil and pay your debt. And there's so much oil, Elisha told her, you and your sons can live on the rest. Now she's using all this provision from God that He'd given her with what she had as provision for her family to thrive on as a business. And all of this is God's picture example to us, to you, of putting what you have, and you know what you have, even beyond things that I'm mentioning, right? Use your spiritual eyes. Putting it into operation, trusting God for His provision in your use. But you've got to use it in faith. And then God's moving. And so God moves to bring abundance and blessing beyond what you ever imagined. Believe that when it comes to whatever you have, more shall be given, and you will have an abundance. Now the Lord Jesus, He talked about this 2 times in Matthew. Matthew 13 and Matthew 25. The disciples of Jesus were blessed to get understanding from the Lord. Understanding from the Lord was something they have. And you get that by the Holy Spirit, right? And in Matthew 13, Jesus told the disciples, it's been granted to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus said it. He said, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. Well, that's the principle. And it applies to you. Matthew 25, 29, Jesus told a parable. He said, a man went on a journey. He gave some money to 3 slaves. He gave 1 5 talents, another 2. Another he gave 1 talent. Gave to each according to their own ability. Then he went on his journey. The one who received the 5 immediately went out. He did business with it. He earned 5 more talents. The one who received 2 talents earned 2 more. The one who received the 1 talent went away and he dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. The master got back. He found the one who had the 5 talents that he had earned 5 more. He said, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. One who had the 2 talents earned 2 more. Master said, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things, I'll put you in charge of many. But the one who had the one talent, he said he was afraid. So he hid the talent in the ground. His master said, you worthless, lazy slave. Did you know that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter seed? You should have put my money in the bank, and you would have received my money back with interest. And then Jesus repeated that phrase, for to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. So here's the point on being given what you have. Using what you have and trusting God for provision is all about using what you have in faith for more. Use the principle in your prayer life. When you pray, trust that God hears you. Trust that he gives to you when your desires line up with his. God tells you, if you ask anything according to his will, then you will get the request answered with a yes answer. So you have a desire. Well, make it into a request to God. And then do what? Trust him. And what is trust? Something that you have. And then follow the principle as it's made in 2 Corinthians 9. The Apostle Paul explains that when you plant what you have as the seed of giving to meet needs, you will reap back to yourself generous financial reserves from the Lord. And it says that God loves a cheerful giver. God makes grace overflow so that you will have enough of everything in every way at all time to easily afford using what you have for every good deed. And then Paul goes on and he says, God who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your supply of resources and will cause the harvest of your righteous giving to grow. See, God's not being silent on this. Use what you are being told in all of it. Use what you have and trust in God for provision, knowing that you will get the provision in an overflow of abundance like oil that keeps pouring and pouring from your own reserves, which never get depleted. Live your life knowing that God wants you to use what you have while trusting that he's going to provide more and more to you so that you'll have more and more to use. It doesn't matter what the political landscape is, the disease landscape is, financial landscape. Embrace the truth. Embrace it as your daily bread. As Paul says, God will enrich you in every way so that you will be enabled to be generous on every occasion. So you walk in your guarantee. That's the faith issue. And as you find that you have needs, even desires that may not necessarily be pressing needs, just recognize what you have. Everything is not lost. Use what you have for more. Use your life. Use your salvation, the life that God's given you in Christ. Use the favor with God you have in him. Use that faith. Use your God-given ability to be humble. Be transparent concerning your needs. And listen to advice. Ask people to pray for you. Use the love of Christ that you have to help others. Pray for others to have their needs met. These are all things that we start with something we have. Help others with some of your time, some of your talent, some of your treasure. And as you do, God will enrich you in every way so that you'll be more and more generous on every occasion in a continuous flow of oil from your jar. Amen.